Lebowski. Okay, I did a double take. Apparently, Kim Jong-un has a miniature warhead. Did you see this? I don't know how they meant that. But nuclear can reach us. And the game is on. Trump is saber-rattling, for sure. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that here as the program unfolds. Greetings, Sam Nation here, Talk Radio 790 KABC, 1-800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com. So the guy at Google gets fired. His name is James Damore, and interestingly enough, his name did not come out until yesterday, even though he put it on top of the memo that he distributed through Google's own internal network. The memo was titled Google's Ideological Echo Chamber. It was not titled, as you would think from reading and listening to the various media today, anything to do with sexism or sex bias or gender bias or race. It had everything to do with a culture within a large company that does not encourage free debate, which makes the Google CEO's statement that was issued earlier today absolutely 100% silly and ironic. Our job is to build great products for users, blah, blah, blah. Our coworkers shouldn't have to worry that each time they open their mouths to speak in a meeting, they have to prove that they are not like the memo states. Which is kind of ironic, if you think about it, because, of course, the memo states, principal conclusion is that there's no open debate about anything inside of Google. And as, I guess, great evidence of it, this guy gets canned, right? So he's out. Now, the question that everybody is asking today, can Google do this? Can they just fire him like this? I mean, all this guy did was write a memo. And I'll when you look at the memo, it really was not, it wasn't a kind of a rage-filled piece the way it's being characterized in the media at all. It was a very reasoned explanation of why the prevailing viewpoint may not be entirely true. It made counterpoints to his viewpoint, and it actually gives suggestions that management could have listened to. They didn't, and instead canned him. Can they do it? The answer is, this is a part of it that I think people need to pay attention to. The answer to whether or not this guy can actually get fired, that this, whatever happened here today was legal, comes down to, yes, they can, because he's a white male. Let me explain. In California and most states, I'm just giving you, this is you know, a little lawyer's insight here. If you are an employee, you have probably, you're by default, but certainly can sign an agreement where you are at will. And in almost any scenario, this is exactly what your employer will do. They will have you sign an at will agreement. That means that it's like no fault divorce. Okay? Just because something happens, you don't like them, they don't like you, any reason can dissolve the working relationship. And that's it. So presumably here, I'm guessing, I didn't get confirmation of this. I tried to figure out that this guy had some kind of a contract. If there's a contract, the contract may require good cause, may require a good reason to terminate. The same is typically true in union shops, okay? So if there's a union involved, they require goodwill. A good cause, excuse me. But I don't think this guy had a contract. I think he was an employee and probably well compensated, but it doesn't matter how well compensated, it's at will. And so the company really doesn't need to give a reason. And I think where this got messy is the company, against their lawyer's better judgment, I would say, gave a reason. You never do this. Why give a reason if you don't need to give a reason? This is where, by the way, this is where lawyers start to kind of look at their client and go, why? Why did you do this? Listen to me. I've got good advice for you. Shut up. But Google couldn't help themselves because this story became, it developed a life of its own. And so they had to explain it. Well, this person here, Mr. Damore, he has violated our workplace policy. And it's, you know what, it's safe enough to say that because the workplace policy includes in there, you know, we're a safe environment. And Google is absolutely within its rights. I hate to point this out to my friends at Breitbart, but they're absolutely well within their rights to can somebody that they think isn't a good fit for them. That's it. Now, if this guy, I'm going to just point this out here because this is, you know, this presents kind of the humorous component of it. If this guy was black, if he were, let's say, from a foreign country, if he was a woman, they might actually have a tougher time to do it because the only exceptions to not needing any reason, the minefield when it comes to laying off people is if there are members of a protected class. And there, you can't fire somebody because of who they are. You cannot fire them if they are a woman, if it's for gender discrimination, you can't fire for race discrimination, you can't fire for national origin discrimination, that type of thing. And the discussion becomes is, you know, yeah, all right, that guy is a lazy A money, and we got to get rid of him. But if he's an African American, now you got a problem because potentially that guy can say, well, you know what? It's not because I'm lazy. It's because, you know, it's because of my skin color and that you're firing me. The reason you're giving is pretextual. And that's where losses come. That's when companies are really nervous to fire minorities. It's just a fact of life. I'm giving it to you just straight as can be. So he doesn't have a case. And I've been looking at various news media today, kind of observing it, half humored, to watch people stumble around this. This is not an ideological issue. It's just the law. You know, I set out here when we started this program, I decided I really wanted it to be, I wanted to present common sense. And I will tell you, I first learned common sense from my parents, who taught me well, and really set me on the straight course in life. And then I went to law school, and it added a very important component to common sense, which is to look at issues dispassionately based on facts and based on the rules. Now, not everything in life has clear set rules. That's where sometimes these things get a little bit fuzzy. But there are certain instances where the facts and there's law and the facts is applied to the law and you got it. It's what it is. And I think that this is interesting because it explains how ideological we are sometimes when we talk about these issues. You saw the Colin Kaepernick deal. So there's a big protest. You know, he's the NFL, the former 49ers quarterback. And he's the guy who refuses to stand and for the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem, excuse me. Well, you remember the outrage in conservative media over that? What is he doing? What is he doing? You know, and there's the NFL needs to fire him. It's an exercise of his speech. And my point then is going to be my same point with Google, which is a private company and a private entity like the NFL can decide whatever the heck they want to do. Now, Google can choose to stifle intelligent and thoughtful debate within the company at its own peril. And this is why I am a dedicated capitalist. The risk I see, of course, in our system is that from time to time, big companies are given tremendous amounts of government assistance. From time to time, certain institutions are deemed too big to fail. Stop me if this sounds familiar. And it's then that I go, whoa, 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 hold the presses. I'm all for this company doing stupid stuff and driving itself into the ground, but I'm not okay with our tax money, yours and mine, going over there to bail them out of their own stupidity. And that's what you have here. What you have here potentially, this is not going to be a good situation for Google long term, and big companies will struggle with this. As I mentioned yesterday, we talked about this. I think that when you place a higher value to diversity than you do to quality, you will end up with worse candidates in positions. When you end up with worse candidates in various job positions within an organization, invariably the organization will suffer. This is a fact. Now, I am not saying that minorities are worse at their jobs. I am saying that if you don't pick based on who's best for the job, but rather based on some sort of quota system, filling seats with bodies that are perhaps less qualified, but they are the right color or the right gender or the right sexual orientation, you're going to suffer in quality because you're not necessary. You're always in this crazy loony world where you're trying to make everything even. The complaint here, by the way, when I say even, you know, we're trying to even it out 50-50 with gender, for example. And what was the split here with the Google engineers? Remember this? 70-30 skewed to male. This wasn't 99-1%. This was 70-30. And that's already with Google probably filling some of those spots because they're looking to hire and promote women up. The simple point is this. There just aren't enough girls programming. And you know what? Let's fix that. Fine. If my daughter said, I want to program, I would love for her to I think that would be awesome. And ironically, I spent a lot of time thinking about this overnight. And you guys know this. I have is one of my companies that I have is a software management group that we build legal software for law firms. And this business, ironically, my sister is one of the chief architects of the software. And she's not there because she's a woman. She's not there because she's my sister. She's there. She's really good. Period. But you know what? She's part of it is and I was reading this memo about women and about some of their inherent traits, about being creative and collaborative. All of that, those are good qualities in her job. And I'm reading it. I'm like, yeah, that's her. She is collaborative and she is creative. But you know what? That's an asset in the position that she's in. It's all about finding the right person for the right job. The most challenging thing as a manager of people, and I've told you this, I only speak from my experience of having 85 employees. What I can tell you is the crucial thing in running a business is you've got to have the right person in the right seat. And if you just take two people that are well suited for their jobs and their different jobs and you swap them, if you do one of those like Freaky Friday things, you know, where you just take one person out with them, you're going to end up with a bit of a problem on your hands. Trust me on this. So why put such a ridiculous, heavy-handed emphasis on diversity? And at the same time, not respect diversity of thought and of opinion. I think it comes ultimately. It's Google's loss. They can do whatever. What happened today? I don't see anything here. It's a white guy. You can fire him. There's no pretextual arguments of discrimination. That's it. But what you have, the risk you run is you've got a company that isn't, at the end of the day, may very well have quality people leave or be fired for reasons that really should not matter to that company. And then, as a friend of mine pointed out, what you're really facing potentially is a lawsuit from shareholders who are going to get pissed off. Hey, you guys aren't managing this business with profit in mind. You're managing it with ideology in mind, and that ideology is not translating into dollars. And at the end of the day, this is America. Dollars matter. All right, don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, okay. Apparently, I hit a nerve here. Talking about this employment case with Google, guy has no case, and I mentioned it's because he's a white guy, and really what it means is you've got in these types of cases it's at will employment. You can let we lost him. All right. Oh, we got him back. Good. So, you know, what I was trying to explain here is you've got in these cases at will employment, an employer can let you go for whatever reason, unless you're a member of a protected class, if it's race discrimination, gender discrimination, etc. All right. So, great point, and I'm glad. Reed, are you there? Reed from WeHo.
Yes, I'm definitely
here.
Well,
man, I was worried we lost you. You had such a great point. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. So, yeah, you know, I work in a human resources related position professionally, and I actually take an employment law. So when you look at the Civil Rights Act of 64 and Title VII that addresses employment discrimination, here's what a lot of workers as well as employers don't understand. And so just because he is a white male doesn't mean that he's not in a protected class. His race, whether it's white or black or whatever, in his gender, you know, male, female, he's also protected. What often happens is that employers get very concerned about the backlash. They fired him, sure, because they felt that it would be easier to fire him because he is a white male. But everybody should know that white men enjoy the same protections as everyone else. So
well,
I
that's the idea. That's the idea. Let me get in here. I'm gonna cut in here for real quick. It's a great point, and I really appreciate the call. So let me tell you this. Reed makes a great point because you do have the same protections, except believe it or not. There's case law. They call it the unusual employer standard. You have to prove if you're part of a majority group, you have to prove that your employer, there's something up with him. I mean that there is an extraordinary circumstance there that is that leads to that discrimination that has resulted in discrimination against you. And this all goes back to the seminal case on this. It's the McDonnell-Douglas test. There's, I think, three or four prongs. So it's just a higher bar. You're absolutely right. You do have the same protections, but it is a higher bar. And also think about it this way. Affirmative action has been upheld. And affirmative action, if you think about it, is reverse discrimination against you know, white people, and oftentimes against Asians in certain places, right? But whoever is the dominant high achieving group in the area, depending on the state, right, and the makeup of the applicants applying to higher education, for example, and that affirmative action's been upheld many times, right? Lower courts and even the Supreme Court. So, yeah, it's tough. And my point stands. I would just tell you. I'll tell you this: it's every employment lawyer, if you get canned and you're an at-will person, you're an at-will employee, and you've just walked out the door with your final check and you're very sorrowful about what happened. Let's say you're pissed. You're pissed at your boss and you call an employment law attorney. First thing they ask you is, are you a woman? Okay. How old are you? Is there an age discrimination issue? Show me what's the color of your skin. It's absurd, but it's like that. And most of the time when the guy says, oh, I'm a white male, right? In almost any circumstance, but the response from the lawyer is, well, tough luck, pal. Move along.
Mention this.
It's America.
I think that's a really good point, but I will mention that I do think that it does behoove workers to, really understand the rights that they have, because if they feel, if this Google employee feels that, he endured harassment because of his, beliefs or perspective, and I think that
No. You're absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong there. Reed, I got to go. I'm sorry. I'm out of time. But just to let you know, this is not true. It comes down to you have no freedom of speech in a private business. I mean, you just don't. And your belief system really is not a protected class. Your political beliefs are not protected. Okay, we got John Wolf up next with the news. I'm back right after this.
Talk Radio
790 KABC. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Bottom of the hour, moving right through here, steamrolling through illogic and insanity. And as always, we're live from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location deep behind the Orange Curtain. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program, or email me, sam@samnation.com. That was a very important point in that last segment. A caller was talking about wrongful termination on the basis of discrimination against beliefs. If it's religious discrimination, it's one thing. That's not really what this is. These are political opinions or philosophical opinions that this person expressed in the memo. Now, I'm with him. The more I've studied the memo, I think he's raising some very good points. And certainly, I like his position regarding the monoculture that is the left. It's true. It's an echo chamber. There's no room for dissenting opinions. I'm personally happiest when I am surrounded by people who disagree with me. And that's a fact. But libs are not. The very people that espouse tremendous tolerance are actually themselves highly intolerant. But guess what? It's a private group. It's a private company. They have a right to discriminate on the basis of your political opinions. You are not entitled to free speech in my business. Now, the reality is, so I know I can speak about this because at the office, people know what I do here at night. They know that come 7 o'clock in the evening, I turn into a conservative vampire on the radio. And I would say on balance, I probably have more people that disagree with me at the office. I don't know. Probably do. Producer Robbie's nodding his head. I'm bringing this up because we have this office environment where we talk politics. And some great ideas, honestly, look, life is show prep. So I go to work and I talk about politics because I'm sharpening my tools here to come on tonight in the evening and talk to you. So that's, that I'm open with. I don't understand the environment where you don't debate and you don't talk, but certainly any business, what a company can say? No politics. And maybe you work in a company like that. I could see a lot of businesses doing that these days with how crazy the political discourse is being. So they actually could say no politics. And you could stand up in the break room and say, "Wow, what about that Trump guy?" And regardless if it's positive or negative, they could can you. Your employer could, as insane as it sounds, theoretically write in there, say, you can't, if you've got a liberal opinion, keep it to yourself. And they could let you go for that. They should never say what they're letting you go for, because it opens up a can of worms. Just at-will employment. Very few exceptions to it. So no, you have no guarantees of free speech. Now, one of the things now that comes to my mind when I'm looking at this entire story with this Google memo related to gender discrimination in the workplace is how mischaracterized it has become in the press. It's an important component of the story. Because I have read, and you should see I've got two copies of it now here, and I have read this and highlighted it and tagged it, and I've gone through it. And so I'm pretty well immersed in this memo. And I have been listening to some frankly insane things. So when we come back, there's one great clip. Of course, it's CNN. I'll play for you. I'll read to you a few clips from or a few snippets from the memo and then play you this clip. And you tell me. You be the judge. Oh, and don't let me. That's right. It's Grace, my assistant Grace. It's her birthday today. And she's taken the week off. And I don't know what to do with myself, Grace. Hurry back. I need you. But happy birthday. Happy birthday, too. Have a great week off. All right, Sam Rejofsky back right after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, according to the Google, now infamous Google memo, Women may be, on balance, more collaborative than men, more communicative than men. So I will tell you a situation where no one, man or woman, should be communicative or collaborative. And that is when dealing with an insurance company for some bozo clown that just rear-ended you. The only reason the insurance company wants to talk to you is because they want to fleece you. They literally want to take advantage of you. So there it is. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be in that position. Instead, have somebody represent you. Somebody who is, well, he's collaborative too. He's communicative. But he's also assertive and not the least bit neurotic. And who am I talking about? It's sweet James Bergner, the attorney we trust on this program to get you the justice that you deserve. Call him with any kind of accident or injury. Talk to him. Find out if there's anything he can do to help you. But whatever you do, don't talk to the other side. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation. You know, part of this memo, and I'll end with this, is just how it was mischaracterized in the press. And this is typical. I mean, we see this whenever there's here. The point of the memo, of course, was to open up debate about a serious problem in how we treat gender in the workplace and this newfound craze of wanting to even everything out. And at the expense, perhaps, of logic and at the expense of putting the right people in the right jobs. Here is what the author, James Damore, wrote about the gender gap. He titled this part Non-Discriminatory Ways to Reduce the Gender Gap. And in it, he says we need to suggest ways to address this issue and increase women's representation in tech without resorting to discrimination. He gave some examples. One of these I mentioned yesterday, we can make software engineering more people-oriented with pair programming and more collaboration. We should allow those people who exhibit cooperative behavior to thrive. All right? And then he goes on to say, hey, you know what? These are all valuable traits that we need to, you know, we need to monetize. I'm paraphrasing. So here is how his memo is being characterized by Brooke Baldwin today on CNN.
Do you think he was allowed to say that, where he's essentially saying, well, I don't really like women anywhere near a computer, and should he have been fired for it?
Wait, stop it, stop it. Doesn't even matter what the response is. It literally doesn't matter what the response is. Do you think he's allowed to say that, where he was essentially saying, well, I don't really like women anywhere near a computer? Huh? Do you see how, you know, when people run around calling CNN fake news, you see why? This is the most trusted name in news. This is the best they've got. In order to debate things, any issue, any idea, you've got to start by accurately representing what that idea or issue or position was. You can't just mischaracterize it and then start with giving an opinion. And this is sort of that. This is exactly the type of echo chamber that I keep talking about, where you go, you know, they get together and they just pass this off. Yeah, hey, you know, he doesn't even want women near computers. Nothing in this memo has anything near that. Not even close. So my pledge to you, I will always go to the source. I'm always going to go to the source. I'll read it. I'll give you my honest opinion. I'll give it to you straight. And then, hey, you decide. You know, you be the judge. But I'm telling you, this is nonsense. All right. What does this saber rattling by Trump mean? Trump laid down a pretty big, heavy red line today. Well, but he didn't exactly. I want to get into that and describe to you what this really means and tell you if we should be worried or not. All right. Sam Rejofsky back right after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, just one last thing here. We got a great caller, and Rick, I can't get to you, but you make an excellent point, because Rick in Huntington Beach wanted to tell us that the very same people who are defending the Google guy hate Colin Kaepernick, and I don't disagree with you, Rick. You're right. It's private speech within the NFL, private speech within Google, the same rules apply. It's what the company wants to do, and the company has to decide what's good for the company. And I think my only point with bringing up Kaepernick, I didn't quite complete the thought, is that Kaepernick is bad for the NFL brand. And so any decisions that are made not to hire him don't so much have to do with the speech per se, as how that speech is affecting the business of the NFL. And there's some really good studies out there that are showing that, you know, people are tuning in because they're sick and tired of all this activism. They want to watch football. They don't want to talk politics and worry about stuff, important stuff. I mean, it's not even a value judgment. It's just people tuning into football are looking for something very different. All right, North Korea. Well, the Trump has done it. And President Donald Trump today bluntly warned North Korea that if they make any more threats to us, North Korea will be, quote unquote, met with fire and fury like the world has never seen, close quote. Now, this type of language reminds me of something, I think it's Mattis language. I think Trump is lifting language straight from the Secretary of Defense. And General Mattis has at various times had quotes where, you know, just push me one step too far and you will rue the day. And the great thing what I like about it is that there's not some super clearly defined red line. Because you want to stay away from that. You don't want to have anything really explicit. Because what's a threat? A few hours later, North Korea turned around and said, we're going to bomb Guam. we're exploring that option. But you know, when you use a word, a vague word like threat, does it mean an actual verbal threat, or is it an imminent threat? I mean, so the good news is I don't think he boxed himself or us into a corner. The other good news is bullies respect strength. It is an absolute fact. The Soviet Union, for years, expanded its influence under weak U.S. presidents. When the U.S. was weak, the tyrants, they become emboldened. And I think Trump has to. This is strategic, okay? This is game theory, evolved game theory. And what we have to do is we've got to convince North Korea we're a little crazy too. And it can, you know, there could be a good cop, bad cop routine. I saw a stupid article in New York Times, as per usual, about how Trump may be undermining Tillerson's diplomatic efforts. And I laughed at it because I thought, this is exactly what we want to keep them guessing. You want to keep your enemies guessing, right? This is a basic thing you do. So you've got the measured guy, you've got Mattis, you've got Tillerson, you got a crazy Trump. Trump can play the crazy guy. But it keeps North Korea guessing. Is Trump as crazy as the media makes him out to be, that he's going to nuke him at the first, you know, first scent of blood in the water? And it also gives Tillerson leverage. Gives him leverage to negotiate. Hey, talk to me, work with me, or Trump, he's going to go cray. All right, Sam Rogowski, I'll be back tomorrow at 7. See you then.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.